It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, Paulie!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only... He's only mortal, folks. Paul Lavoy.
Captain Radio here, inviting you to another episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
Wouldn't it be...
All right, welcome to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm the host of Speak Out, Paul Lavoy, in the John Travolta lookalike today, I guess, right?
Yeah,
you know, have you seen the Santa commercial with him?
No,
with
I
Travolta?
Have not.
I am kind of
I did.
Trunk.
I did see it.
I'm not as tall as Travolta, I don't think, but yeah.
I got a kick out of that, actually.
I could be his body double now, right?
Yep.
All right, welcome to the show, everybody. It is episode number 51.
It is.
You got a great guest today.
Well, I do. And this kicks off the 2024 51st show. And, you know, we had a really great couple of seasons. And I'm really happy to say that, you know, bringing on our next guest, he is our repeat guest. And we were so interested in the stuff he was sharing. I asked him to come back and share some more stories with us, and so we have Sergeant Tom Malay with us from Lake Havasu's past history, starting back in the 70s, I think, Tom.
74.
74. And so, yeah, and he's got a couple of really cool stories. You know, Havasu wasn't always the really calm, cool, pleasant place to be, and there's a few things that Tom's going to share today that'll kind of raise the hair on the back of your neck, so I'm pretty excited. So, Tom, let's kick off and let's get started. Let's remind the folks when you got to Havasu and how things started up.
Well, I grew up back east and got tired of shoveling snow, so I looked for the hottest place I could find, and I moved to Havasu.
Mission accomplished.
Actually, my mom and dad and youngest brother moved to Havasu in 72, and my dad started from the minute he got here to get me here. And he was quite a salesman. Yeah, so I came out in 73, and I did. I fell in love with the place. And I had all kinds of sinus problems, and I could actually breathe. That was a new experience for me. So,
right.
Yeah, you know. So.
And we had no mosquitoes.
Oh, no. We had no pigeons either until they let them loose.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have heard that, but it's a true story then. That was at the London Bridge dedication then? Was the pigeons?
Yes. Yeah.
Were they pigeons, albino pigeons?
They were looked
like doves.
They couldn't get doves, so they brought pigeons.
Yeah.
Nobody really knew the difference.
I've seen albino pigeons, and that's what they do. They fly home and they get used over and over and over again at events. That's what I asked. So yeah.
We also didn't have that many seagulls, oddly enough, yet.
Oh, interesting.
I thought that was interesting. They've really, you know, doubled up. But Tom, so go ahead. Where do you want to take us today?
Well, I'll take you back to 74. The only police job in town at that time was the Mojave County Sheriff's. So I came out in 73, checked it out. In 74, my dad gave me a call and said, hey, they got a brand new sheriff. They're going to hire like 30 deputies, and Havasu's going to get a bunch of them. you need to move now. Well, I told my wife, and she cried and carried on. Oh, wow, you know. So, I had told her the year before, I said, you know what? Sometime next year, I'm moving to Havasu, and hopefully you're going to come with me or else, because that's where I'm going. And sure enough, the door opened, miracle, and I come in. So I want to take you all the way back to 1974, and at that time, boy, if you were here on a big holiday, it was totally unlawful. I mean, they did things that you would never think you'd see in public. Okay.
What might be a big holiday?
Well, a big holiday would, of course, would be like Memorial. And, you know, you'd have an extra 20,000 to 30,000 people. And you had a total of five deputies.
Oh, right.
Boy. Okay.
Right.
So all of a sudden they went from, we can handle this, to, we'll take the very ultimate top worst ones, and the rest we're just going to pretend we don't see them.
So with that kind of an influx of people coming into the town, 70, what year are we talking about?
74.
So in 74, we only had about, what, 8,000, 9,000 people? I mean, we had very few people, so you're talking
if that, yeah.
So it must have just been chaotic.
It was absolutely lawless. I mean, it was just, there were moments that we wondered if we were going to go back home.
And wow.
That's how it was. Well, I've got a good story that goes all the way back there to the Frigate Lounge at the time. It's actually Mario's right,
yeah,
now. And that whole area used to be called Crystal Plaza. So one night there's two deputies and me and a dispatcher. I'm in with the dispatcher because I'm the boss. I was a brand new corporal at that time, two stripes. So I thought I was pretty hot. So I was minding my own business, and I was getting close to bar closing, and a call came in about somebody really tearing it up in the Frigate Lounge. So we dispatched at that time, which we would never do now, just one of the two deputies that were working. And he gets there after a while, and all of a sudden, the second one on his own had enough sense to wander down in the area. And he gets there, and there's a fight with the deputy and this gentleman. And they were remodeling, so there was all kinds of trash out front, but there were 2x4s, like 4-foot lengths of them.
Uh-huh.
Well, he ended up, when he couldn't win with his fist, he started whacking the deputy with a 2x4.
Oh, my gosh.
Broke his clavicle.
Oh.
And couldn't protect himself and was getting smashed. And so the second deputy arrives, and he didn't have a lot of time to think, about a second. And he looked, and the guy looked at him and drew back that wood one more time to smash the deputy's head. He drew his revolver, bam, one shot, dropped him right there, hit him right in the heart.
Whoa, yeah. Wow. And now I got to tell you, growing up here after all these years, it is a story I had not heard.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I got a bunch of pioneers out there who are going right now, they're going, well, I may have heard something about that.
Right.
They really didn't, I'm telling you. Those were the stories you didn't want out, of course, because, you know, nobody wanted bad publicity for the town.
Exactly.
But, you know, when you hear these stories, it really brings it back home that Havasu, as wonderful as it is, had its normalcies just like any other community around the country.
What was your biggest call for service for law enforcement? Was it DUI? Was it drunken disorderly? Domestic violence? Back in the day, and we're talking in the 70s.
Well, even back then, domestic violence was always a dangerous call to go to, because you would start trying to straighten out the alleged male person that caused the problem. And then,
most of the time, right?
Most of the time.
Right.
And then it would go well. But when it didn't, the one that called you, the missus, she'd jump on you too. So, I mean, really, honest to God, it was a goat roping and a half, you know?
Wow. I was waiting for you to bring up the missus, because I'm telling you, I've met some of the moms, and you know they, you didn't do it wrong twice in this town. Let me put it that way, or the back of your head would find a hand.
So domestic violence. Any others come to mind?
Well, DUI was a constant problem.
It's a resort town.
Well, yeah, you expected that. That was just something that was going to happen. You had to deal with it if you had the manpower to deal with it. That's what caused us to establish the police department, because we could never get the sheriff to keep enough deputies staffed there to do the job correct. Citizens got tired.
It's really interesting sitting across from law enforcement now and being able to reflect back and go, there wasn't a soul I knew that didn't drive downtown or anywhere around that didn't have a beer and a cooler in between their legs.
I was going to say, so the whole Mothers Against Drunk Driving movement was in the mid-80s. I remember I had just gotten out of college. I had a friend that was really impacted by that, who was practically a fraternity brother, and had I pledged his fraternity. But back in the day, way before that, we're talking like 15 years before that, it was a little more permissible, or was it not? Would you admit to that? I mean, you're a former deputy now.
Well, sure, I'll cop out to that. I took many a drunk home.
No kidding.
Yeah. And I was smart enough to keep their keys. So in the morning, if they could remember they got a ride home, then they could call the sheriff's office, and we'd tell them, fine, you find somebody to drive you down here. We'll give you your keys if you're sober yet.
That's like the old like the old joke about the guy who wakes up in the squad cars in his garage. But his car's in the
many a time,
right in the deputy's garage. So
then the DRAM laws came in. You could be held responsible if you left the keys with them and told them you just sleep it off, and then they started again, and if they killed somebody, the officer could be arrested and charged and go to prison. So
it was one of the things that we actually bragged on a positive side about our law enforcement, because they were kind enough, of course, understaffed, as we talked about, but kind enough to let a lot of us get home so that we could continue our lives the next day. It was a true, challenge.
Right. Absolutely. What's changed a lot about, are you still involved with local law enforcement at all?
Not really. Not directly.
Friends?
I still have friends. I never missed the work. Okay. I did miss the people that I work with, because they were great people. You know, and this movement against police, it's absolutely stupid. Absolutely insane.
Got no argument from our listeners, I'll tell you that.
So their responsibility, their challenges are existentially larger and massive compared to what you were dealing with back then. When you look at the number of law enforcement we have here in Lake Havasu City, and now up to 60,000 people without snowbirds, I might add.
No kidding.
And it goes up to 110 to 120 with snowbirds from October to April.
Snowbirds and other visitors, obviously.
Yes, but they are here in their residence that they own, usually, or their RV parks.
Mm-hmm. I'll be different.
And that's how much our population increases. So when people talk about what our town was designed for, we weren't necessarily designed for 110 or 20.
Right.
We were designed according to
90.
Well, 95. Yeah, somebody said 70, but 70 to 90, right in there.
The McCulloch master plan was like 90, I think.
Yeah.
Something in and around those numbers. So we're exceeding that now. Tom, when I think about that kind of an episode of shooting here in Havasu, what kind of an effect did that have on not only the department, but the businesses? Were people really concerned after having something like that happen?
Or did they even know?
Well, everybody in the town knew by the next day.
Right.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Because it was...
right.
Anything
really?
Like...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Something's never changed.
Not necessarily the kids, but the parents knew for sure.
Mm. I was being sarcastic, because some things just never change.
Well, and what happened was, the family members of the deceased and a bunch of his friends started calling in phony calls, and they had already told all of their friends, and it got back to the sheriff's office, that they were going to if we were dumb enough to come all the way out to Crystal Beach or the Highlands out there in that right. area, that we wouldn't be returning to the city.
Wow.
That they would take our life. First time ever, the sheriff, we got a hold of the sheriff, told him the situation, and for months he assigned other people from other districts to come and ride, and we rode two-man cruisers. And if I still sensed it, I had the last call because I was the supervisor at the time. And if I felt uncomfortable with it,
right.
those people better be working on their problem on their own, because we didn't go.
Right.
We didn't go out there.
Right.
That's just how it was.
And for those of you who don't know where the Highlands is, that's Desert Hills today.
Yep.
But you got to understand what seems just a moment away from town now. That was all the way out in the Highlands and yep. all the way at Crystal Beach. That you might as well be going to Kingman.
Was that dirt road back then, or was it still London Bridge Road the way it is now?
Oh, the old road.
London Bridge Road was the road.
Well, I know, but was it all paved?
Oh, it was paved
in '74.
But we had no highway.
Yeah,
I see.
Oh, it was two-lane road with 90-degree hairpin turns.
Yes.
We took many a fatal call at the.
Oh my lord!
Road.
So Tom, you seem sharp as a tack. All right, mm-hmm. And my knowledge of county sheriffs goes all the way back. My news days would be Sheriff Joe Cook, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Who was the sheriff when you worked for MCSO?
Well, they had an election, and a guy by the name of Phil Jordan, and when he showed up. He was a real showman. I'll say that much for the sheriff. He was a political person for sure. He'd show up with that big cowboy hat and all the rest and the cowboy boots, and I mean he played it to the end.
I'm sure. And it was the Wild West.
Well, yeah. And that's just how our outfits were, big Stetson hats and Justin boots and
really?
Whatever. And I thought, what did I do leaving a real police department in Syracuse, New York? And I look like some hillbilly out here dressed in this stuff, you know? Wow. I
did you have to wear the scarf around your neck, too?
No.
Oh, that's good. Because that was like the Hollywood cowboy.
Oh, man.
Real cowboys didn't
that's funny.
Do that.
You ready to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break. We're here with Tom Lay. Sergeant Tom Lay from back in the day in Havasu, and we'll be right back.
You had some sad news, though.
Yeah, we did. We had the passing of a very special pioneer to me, Miss Judy Nuss, who arrived here in 1972, came along with Nordic Boats and her family, and Judy passed away on Monday to New Year's Eve day, at 80 years old. My heart felt... condolences go out to the entire Nuss family. She was a great person I had the pleasure of working with at one point. And we'll talk about that when we come back.
Very funny story.
And so,
Very funny.
Judy, we love and miss you, and we'll be thinking of you up there.
All right, we're going to take a short break. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show on Speak Out, and our Havasu Pioneers Radio sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Back with more in a moment. Our guest, former Sergeant Tom DeLay, I'm sorry, I have a friend who recently passed. His last name is DeLay. Tom Mole.
Yeah.
So there you go. That was my bad.
DeLay that, Paul.
That was my bad.
There you go.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. All right, just the facts, Malay. Just the facts, right? Welcome back to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. You didn't think I'd find it, did you?
No, I thought it was great, but you know we had to change the name to protect the innocent.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. You're no longer Tom. Formerly known as. You're like Twitter.
A.K.A. also known as.
There you go. Speak Out in the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springberg Wealth Management, by Patio Paradise, Just Meats, all the cuts all the time, a locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City, and by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan and our exclusive Havasu Pioneers Radio Show sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. I want to talk about this for a second. Two of Havasu's finest on patrol brought this over to the mothership yesterday. It's about the Lake Havasu Bike Rodeo presented by the Lake Havasu City Police Department, right? If you have a bike out there and you're a kid and you want, I don't know if they're doing licenses though. You remember when you used to get a bicycle license when you were a kid?
Yeah,
you
know? But I never got rid of the training wheel, so.
Oh, really? Wow. Still doing the four-wheeler, huh, Dan? All right. It's Saturday, February 3rd at 2360 McCulloch Boulevard North. That's the Havasu Police Department offices from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pretty sure it's not in the offices, though. It's probably in the parking lot. Yeah. So bicycle safety inspections, giveaways, and a bike rodeo course. So probably want to bring your helmet just to comply.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You don't want to be helmet shamed or non-helmet shamed, especially by a police officer. So anyway, all kidding aside, Saturday, February 3rd of this year from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we'll have to, I was going to say Jack Lord, but it's Jack Webb. We'll have to fade the Jack Webb music. You know what? Hawaii 5-0 music might be pretty cool, too, because you're from Hawaii, right?
That's true. So, yeah, you know, we were talking a little bit about we lost Judy Nuss, who was just a super pioneer here in Lake Havasu City. And a little quick anecdote about that. Our town had a real roller coaster of financial stability. One minute you're up, one minute you're trying to figure out how to make ends meet. And I got a phone call as a young kid from Gene Steele, who was working for GPS. And she had a job for me, which was unheard of. I mean, it was like, are you kidding me? And normally you're standing in line hoping to get one of the jobs that was even available. So I go down there, and she says, well, Dan, I got a job for you. And I says, well, that's wonderful. I said, what is it? She says, well, you're going to be an upholsterer. And I said, really? That sounds great. Where's that at? Well, it's going to be at Bel Air Furniture Upholstery there on Kiowa. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, man, I'm in. Okay, send me down. She says, well, you need to understand something. You're going down as Dan De Los Santos. I said, well, that's my name. She says, yeah, but I know you were telling me that De Los Santos is actually Asian for Guam. I says, well, yeah, I'm not Mexican.
Guamanian.
Guamanian. Yeah. I'm not Spanish. I'm not, you know, Mexican.
Right.
She says, well, Dan, it's a minority job. Today you are Mexican.
She had a great sense of humor.
That's
fine.
And that's where I met Judy Nuss, and I got to work with her, and it was a ball. You know, life in a factory is what you make of it, and fortunately, getting to work with her was a real pleasure. It was just a great honor to have known her. I actually got fired from that job.
You did? Was it your first job?
It was one of my first jobs.
And you got fired from it?
And I was bad at coming in late.
Oh.
And so one of my close friends was Scott Koch, and he worked in the cutting department. He says, well, if you're firing him, I'm quitting too. And so it kind of shut down.
It was like a mutiny.
It was a mutiny. So we grabbed our rappelling ropes, drove to the Grand Canyon, and jumped over the side of the Grand Canyon and dropped 120 feet into the snow. Later on, we found out that was totally illegal, but we didn't know it.
Exactly. That's why I said, what?
But I've got photos of it, and I went, you know, my buddy just popped over it with a photo of it recently, and I went, oh, my God, that's right. I really did do that.
Yeah.
So, Judy, hats off to you and the entire family. And let's get back with Tom Lay. Tom, you've got a couple more stories for us.
Yes, I do.
Let's go into the second one.
Well, the second one involves weapons again. Okay, amazingly. One afternoon, I was the afternoon swing into night shift kind of sergeant. And this is in brand new police department, okay? And the Magnet Group that does countywide drugs, they came down and I got called in by the dispatch. They said, hey, there's a bunch of the Magnet drug guys here, and they want to see the supervisor. I said, yeah, okay, I'll be in the minute. So I got in there. I said, what do you want? What do you need? So, well, we need you. We need your guys to go with us. we need to execute a felony drug warrant. I said, oh, okay. Well, we had a meeting room in the brand new building, which we never had, so we put it in. Blinds were closed. Went over the plan. Where it was on in the 3,000 block of McCullough Boulevard. That's way above the police station, okay? And this guy was a real bad boy. He had quite a history of what we call a CCH, complete criminal history. It ran pages, noted to having weapons, noted to be a not nice person, whatever. So we did our best to plan our best, thinking this might not be as slick as normal. And it turned out it went way beyond that. So we all mount up. We're heading up there, and it's right as the sun's starting to set, and we get out of our vehicles, we take a step or two, and all of a sudden, out of the garage walks the suspect. He's lighting up a cigarette. He sees all these coppers coming his way, okay? Well, unfortunately, he beat feet back in the house before we could stop him.
Oh, wow.
Next thing I heard is I was running towards him to try to get in there and get him, and I heard a shot go off. He got a .22 rifle in there and took a shot at one of the officers. I had already hit the ground, but I knew, in my military training, you hit, and then you roll, you get up and get moving. Don't stay in the same spot. So I went way to the left of the house so that he couldn't see me to shoot at me, whatever. Well, we spent about 20 minutes, cursing each other, going back and forth, trying to settle stuff there. We eventually got him to come out. So we made sure that he got real comfy on the ground, boom, threw him down, cuffed him up, stuffed him away he went. So he had additional charges for the aggravated assault against the officers. So those kind of things you can never plan. But when it happens, then you're training. You need, like I did, I didn't stay on the ground because he would have picked me off.
Sure.
So it was just one of those times where all the planning, we did all the right things, and it turned to junk because who would have guessed he'd walk out to have a cigarette when the 12 of us are coming, coming to take them away.
Huh? So I got to tell you, folks, for those of you who cannot see us here in the studio, I'm like a giddy little kid sitting on the edge of my seat.
Listening
with my
to war stories.
Jaw dropped, and yeah, I'm listening to Tom share this story. It's really good stuff.
Right, right. You ready to take a break?
Yeah, we'll take a break.
All right, let's do that. And again, it's Havasu Pioneers episode number 51.
Wow, I know, right?
That?
2024, our first show.
We like to play music from back in the day, so I'm going to do a little Van Morrison. Tupelo Honey, right?
Yep.
Good stuff. All right, Havasu Pioneers Radio Show brought to you exclusively our Havasu Pioneer sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Havasu Pioneers host, Dan De Los Santos, and our guest, Tom Millay. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us. Chivalry. She does sweet as Tupelo honey. She's an angel of the first degree. She's an angel. She's as sweet as Tupelo honey. Just like honey, baby, from the bee. Good stuff right there. I bet Captain Radio played that one a few times back in the day.
Oh, man. He sure did.
I'll bet, man. That's good stuff. Anna Nancy Wilson and Heart, of course, Crazy on You. And Speak Out in the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Fantastic view of the London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair by Mojave Community College, Sun Power by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, and by
Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006. And don't forget to buy local, or it's buy local. Speaking of samsguns.com, Sam Scarmato scheduled to be on the show this Friday. That's always a hoot. I'm telling you, Tom, that one is always a hoot. The world according to our lovable curmudgeon, Sam Scarmato. So, that's what we call him now, Dan. You're not the curmudgeon anymore.
Oh, good. Thank goodness.
Yes, I'm kidding. You're a happy kind of guy most of the time. So, all right.
So, yeah, and, you know, we're here with Tom Allais, and he's telling us some really great stories about the past with law enforcement here. And, you know, some of these we have not heard before, and he still has another great story to share with us. And if you have any questions, or you want to say hi, or you have a comment for Tom, give us a call at 928-854-5687 and say hi to Tom. And so, Tom, you know, when I think about, you know, Havasu, and we'll probably touch on this after your next story, but I want to look at what your thoughts are in comparison to Havasu, Kingman, Bullhead, Parker. I mean, how do we fit in the scale of dangerous element or trouble? I mean, are we kind of lower? I want to know at that point if we're on the low end of the spectrum or if we're in the middle. I can't imagine we're at the highest point.
No.
So, you know, we'll want to touch on that question. And for anybody that has any comments on that, give us a call. So, Tom, take us into our next story.
Well, another weapons story. How about that?
Okay.
Okay.
Those are the ones that stick with you, huh?
Oh, you remember them intimately. I remember the night. One night I was the night sergeant, and minding my own business, drinking a cup of coffee, slugging it down, having a good time, and one of the officers calls me and interrupts me, so I'm already not happy. And I said, yeah, what's up? Said, I'm at a house on a cul-de-sac off of South Palo Verde, and I think there's a problem. You need to come up here, and we need some other officers up here. He said, I found a truck, comes back to somebody in Flagstaff, and it's parked facing the wrong direction. There's all kinds of things that, you know, it could be. I need some help. So I told dispatch, you send everybody, and I'll meet them there. So we get there, and I asked the guy who was in charge of that area. We called him Beats, the 32 Beat Man. I said, by the way, do you have that as one of your vacation house checks? He looked at it and he said, not on this list. I went, ooh, there's another building block. All of a sudden I said, hey, why don't you guys sneak around the back there? Be careful, be quiet, and see what you can see. Right. And I get a call back, and he says, there's a broken window. There's glass everywhere. I went, ooh, this is getting interesting. So I sent another the other way around, and in a minute, all of a sudden, I hear a little hassle verbally going on, and I see this guy getting dragged by the scruff of his neck out of the dark down there, and he has 30 reasons why he's there legally, and none of them make a lick of sense, you know, type of thing.
Wow.
So I went, that's it. That's enough. I think that we've got enough to fix this. Right then, I never had it happen. I've had it happen many times since then. I actually heard the Lord. I heard the voice inside of me, and it was louder and clearer than what you're hearing me now, and it said, he's got a gun.
Ooh, man. Wow.
Well, I'll tell you, at first, I froze. I had never encountered getting a word directly from the Lord, you know, what they call a word of knowledge. And I went, and it just erupted. I couldn't not say it. And I screamed it out, he's got a gun. So we swarmed them like killer bees. Boom, took them to the ground, started throwing stuff, jacking off other things. All of a sudden, one of the lads holds up. He goes, looky here. Looks like a .38 revolver to me.
There's okay. A hand cannon.
I went, somebody place that fool under arrest. And they did. Wow. We cuffed him, stuffed him, left a somebody with him at the car so he wouldn't be moseying by kicking the windows out. And whatever. So we got it all taken care of. Sure enough, he was the burglar. And
whoa,
all of this story, okay? Now, the ending is, at the end of shift, we're all whipped. We were so fired up. We had so much cortisol in our body.
Oh, yeah.
That fight or flight. Mm. I mean, I couldn't sleep that day. Honest to God, went into the next day. I was so wired, so fired up and for that close a call.
That's a real come-to-Jesus moment, man.
Oh, man, I'm
literally
telling you.
Literally.
And then one of the detectives comes in and says, hey, I want to talk to you. I went, what? I'm wound up. What do you want? He says, you know that clown that you arrested? I said, yeah, what about him? Well, we were talking with him. We asked him, what did you think you were going to do? What were you doing with a handgun on you? He said, I was going to kill every one of them.
Whoa. Wow.
I'll tell you.
Wow. Had you found the light of Christ before that?
No.
Really?
But prior
to
this event,
I did. Come to Jesus moment.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Did you go into chaplain work after that or anything? Or were you still?
Well, as a matter of fact.
This is a whole new door that just opened, literally.
Sure, sure.
When I retired, I did nothing for 10 years. Well, I got really bored of that, okay? So I went back to my faith roots. I got involved with a person by the name of Pastor Kay Zimmerman.
Norwell, yes.
So the days of just laying around doing nothing stopped, and she started teaching me and training me. And within a reasonably short length of time, the Lord told him, he's your new assistant pastor. So I've been doing that for, well, this is the beginning of year 18.
Oh, wow.
So I've been doing it a while. So
yeah, congratulations.
Congratulations.
I've learned quite a bit. But I'll tell you, I remember that moment. When he told me what that guy said, I knew it was the Lord then for sure. I was a brand-new baby Christian. All I knew was I loved Jesus, he loved me, and he saved my life. Hey.
How did that change your law enforcement career?
Well, I'll tell you, I was much more careful of where I parked. I was parked right in front where this guy, had we not found him, could have easily have fired at me. So it caused me to rethink. I responded a bit slower to things instead of rushing in. And when I get close, get the windows down, listen, and slide up real gentle instead of just driving right up in. So that was a big lesson
of life.
So
a lot more observation involved.
Oh, a lot more take your time. Slow but steady.
Man.
Used to tell the new guys.
It's a great story. You know, it's really takes you to the edge there, drops you, and you got to come back up for air, you know.
Oh, no kidding. No
holy
kidding.
Holy cow. You know, and Havasu, so let's go back to my question, Tom. You know, with the stories mm-hmm. you've shared with us in mind, you know, and I know some people are going, I had no idea that we were such a rough and tough, you know, a place to be. But how do we stack up in comparison to our sister communities around us, like Parker, Kingman, mm-hmm. Bullhead? I mean, are we as, you know, are we worse, better, in the middle? Where are we at with those?
I personally believe that we're really close, Kingman and us. Bullhead's just a whole nother entity, and I believe that we haven't gotten to that level yet. But these stories, they didn't happen every week. They didn't happen every day like
right.
the big city. So I know that me and my family are more safe in Havasu than anywhere else in the state of Arizona, as far as I'm concerned.
I've always believed that. I really yeah. have. I brought my family back here. I've lived in Colorado, Hawaii, yeah. California, which I will never return to. Sorry, folks, but I'm just, it's one thing to say you're from California, but I have no desire to go back. Havasu really taught me how to treat your fellow man, how to support them. And, you know, I learned the graciousness of being a human being in this town, mm-hmm. That everyone counts, not just yourself. And so favoritism, there wasn't any. You were equal all the way across yeah. the board. We were helping each other. So, well, Tom, I can't thank you enough for sharing that with me. But Paul, you got a couple questions for
I
Tom?
Do. So I've talked to a lot of police officers. I was actually raised with a stepfather who was a DA's investigator and that.
Ah.
And it's the off time that seem, I'm not saying it's a problem, but sometimes going undetected as a police officer or a peace officer, what did you do in your off time in a small town where everybody knew you were a cop?
When I first got here, there was only maybe 2,000 people. So within 4 months, everybody in the whole city knew me, knew my wife,
right,
knew where I lived, knew where I favored to eat and everything else. But I knew everything about them, too. Okay? So that was interesting. But those days, we're not going to see those. You know, it's a totally different deal now. You can do something and a little silly, and in the old days you could get away with it. Not anymore. So you have to truly be careful of what you do as much off duty as on.
Oh, very. Any time that ended up not working in your favor, where you got recognized, maybe there was a crime in progress or something?
No, but I sure ran across people that I arrested, and they still weren't happy with me. So
I love it.
I had to be extremely careful of that.
I've had the pleasure of meeting some new friends today. This last week, Nikki and Billy Dawson, they are from California. And, you know, they said the one thing that they noticed, now this is with our 60,000 residents, he says, everybody here wants to know us. Everybody here wants to meet us. They want to get to know us. And they've invited us to all these things, which we invited them to our New Year's Eve gathering. Turns out she knows my cousin.
Wow.
Which it just, everything came around to that. Huh. And I want to give a quick shout out to Bob Hannigan. Thank you, buddy, for listening to the show.
Are you getting texts during the show again?
I am getting people going, hey, we're listening to the show. Great show.
That's great.
Wow.
Great name drops, by the way.
They're loving it.
Why did you leave law enforcement, Tom? We have about 3 minutes left.
Well, I had had enough negative fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I got to the point to where I realized I wasn't fully putting my heart in it, and that could endanger the people that work for me, not just me. So I knew it was time. I knew it was time to pull the plug, and so when I got a chance, I did. I had never regret it, because if I had stayed and somebody got hurt, I don't think I could have lived with myself over something like that.
And what year did you get the gold watch?
Oh, yeah, March 12th of 1999.
Wow. Whoa. Wow.
Yeah. And you started in 70?
Well, I started here with the sheriffs in 74, but I was a policeman for 5 years back east. So you add them all together, it's 30 years.
Wow,
man. Right. So he got his watch in 19. I wonder if he was dancing like it was 1990.
right. Getting ready for Y2K. You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, I remember. That was a big concern in law enforcement.
I bet it was.
We were praying to God nothing was going to happen.
I worked in a casino surveillance room.
Oh, man.
When Y2K, you know, when it rolled over, we were all kind of like, what's going to happen?
Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah, exactly, which is a good thing. All right, you ready to wrap this up?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to thank Tom for being on the show today. And, you know, going into 2024, if you've got a topic or you've got a person that you think we should be interviewing on the show, jump in onto the Havasu Pioneers page, the Facebook page. Send me a message. Let us know. And we'll get them on the show, and we'll find some really interesting stories to share with you this next season.
All right, so this is kind of random, but I like to tell people I use drumsticks that are imported from Canada. They're the greatest Canadian import since Gordon Lightfoot, right? So I'm going to go out with Gordon Lightfoot in a song. Kind of fits the interview about the world's oldest profession. Yeah. How's that?
And our next show is going to be February 7th at 11 a.m.
Nice. All right. Back with more tomorrow. That'll be episode number 52.
52.
As we head towards 100, or 75 is more important, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
All right, perfect. All right, Speak Out will continue in a moment. Dan, are you going to come back with me, or what are you going to do?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll come back for a minute.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out, the Havasu Pioneers radio show.
Sailor's dream, and she don't always say what she really means.
All right, back on the Havasu Pioneers radio show, a little Gordon Lightfoot. Kind of had to finish that thought. I love the lyrics of that song, Dan. And I bet that was one of those Captain Radio big hits too, right?
It was. You know, we had some really great music back in the day, and so I love sharing it.
KFWB, is that right?
No, KFWJ.
KFWJ, got it.
Yes.
Got it. All right. Perfect. You know, there's similar call letters, I think, in San Diego.
Yes, it was, I think it was 98.5 here in local.
Oh, very good. Very good. Very
so,
good.
Yes. So, yeah, we had, and a big shout out to Pudge, Lucia. Thanks for listening to the show, my dear. Another one of my houseboat crew. I had to say buenos dias to Steve Blundell, who has flown off to Florida. Man, I can't believe I lost one of my dear friends to the East Coast.
Right.
It's going to be a challenge. And then we're losing another one of our houseboat guys who's heading to Oregon, Mike Whitey Thompson.
All right. So Speak Out 2.0 is coming up next. There's a new number you'll want to put in your phone if you want to talk to Larry after news and a short break. It's 234-343-1065, just like 106.5, 106.3, and 106.7 KNTR. It's 234-343-1065. It'll get you through to the new studio, the new Speak Out 2.0 digs, which I was in yesterday. Had to get keys to the new building and everything.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, the guest today is Steve D'Amico, the Bullhead City Mayor. So that'll be a good show.
Wow, that'll be interesting.
Steve is running for county supervisor, I believe, in that district for Hildy's seat. So that'll be, it's not that interview, it's more of the mayor's interview. But
right.
Just kind of putting it out there because he's already declared. All right, that does it for me. Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. Dan De Los Santos, great job.
Thank you, Paul. A great job as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. And we'll be back with more tomorrow on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.